We're 8 this morning in our Bibles as we turn to the Word of God. And I have a message that I wanted to preach this morning that is going to pave the way for our missions conference, to set us up for our missions conference as it comes up next Sunday. And one of the things that we'll talk about when we think about missions and we think about a missions conference coming up, the things that we can do for missionaries, we can pray for missionaries. And we want to be a church that prays for missionaries. And one of the unique things about our Wednesday night service, and this is why we always encourage you to be at all of our services, and one of the unique things about Wednesday night, we have an opportunity on Wednesday nights to read a missionary letter, and we get missionary letters constantly here at the church because of the fact that we support 91 missionaries. So we get missionary letters so often that we could not possibly read them all if we only take a small portion of time on Wednesday night, but we do take some time on Wednesday night to read a missionary letter and update about their ministry, whether it's a missionary that's on deputation that we're already supporting or one that is on the field or maybe perhaps even giving us an update of their furlough. And so we have an opportunity to read and get an update from them, and then we spend some time praying for them. And so we can pray for missionaries. Another thing that I would say that would be possible for us to do as far as missions is concerned, and I already mentioned it earlier in the service time, is that we must be willing to go if God sends us to be a missionary. And if it is that God leads you in that way to be a missionary, if you think about every missionary that we're going to have coming for our mission conference, there was some point in their life where God called them to do what they are doing. Whether it be that they were sitting in a missions conference or maybe just in a church service, but there was some opportunity in which God spoke to their heart and they answered the call. And so if God calls you, you have to say, God, I'm willing to go. And by the way, that's regardless what age we are. Whatever age we are, if God calls us, we need to be willing to go and do whatever it is that He would have for us to do. I heard a story not too long ago about a missionary who had been a pastor for 20 years at a church. And he felt as if God was calling him to Nicaragua. And he left the pastorate at the church that he was at to go to Nicaragua because he felt like God was calling him there. So you just have no idea when God may call you. Just be willing and ready if He does. Be willing to answer with a yes. And so we pray for missionaries, and we need to be willing to go if God speaks to our heart. And then another thing that we can do is we can encourage missionaries. We can encourage missionaries. That may be through a letter that we can write them. I know a lot of our missionaries have the capability of speaking to individuals in America through email. And that's an avenue that the Lord gives us. We may not have been able to perhaps speak to missionaries in that way years ago. Might have had to have wrote a letter, but now we have email. And then we also have, I know I speak to one of our missionaries through application that you can have on your phone that's called WhatsApp. Some of you may have heard of it. We have a way to communicate to some of our missionaries through that as well. It allows you to speak to somebody in another country that way. And so we can communicate that way and we can encourage that way. Another great way, a great blessing that our church has found in the past that we can encourage missionaries is we take mission trips from time to time. Now, recently, obviously, with all the restrictions that have taken place because of the virus, we haven't been able to do any of that of those things lately. But we've been able to take missionary trips in the past. And I've taken trips, missionary trips before I was at this church, and I've taken some being a part of this church as well. And so what do we do when we take a missionary trip? Well, we go out and we encourage them, don't we? And we lift up their hands and we support them and we're a blessing to them. We've had opportunities before to be a witness in the countries that these people are in as we go on mission trips, whether it be passing out gospel tracts, trying to share the gospel with people around their area, inviting them to church. We've had opportunities to work on building projects and construction projects during mission trips as well. I can guarantee that that is an encouragement to a missionary. When there's a group that comes in from another place and uses their skill and their muscle and their strength to get a task done, and so we can encourage missionaries as well. But one of the subjects that I believe would be true of mission work within a church that I want to preach about today is we need to make a decision in our lives as Christians that we give to missionaries as well. We want to be a mission praying church, and we want to be a mission going church, and a missionary encouraging church. But we also want to be a mission giving church. We want to be a church that gives to missionaries. And I talked to you about this card. We're going to next Sunday have a bulletin for you, and it's probably actually going to be in the form of a booklet, because we have some pages that we're going to put together this week in the office, and we're going to have a booklet that we're going to put together for our missions conference, and it'll have the pictures of all of our missionaries in there, and the field that they are planning to go to, or the field that they're already a part of, and then some special little courses that we're going to sing during the week of missions conference, and then a list of all of our missionaries. So we're going to have this nice little booklet that we're going to have for you, and inside of that booklet, we're going to have a little card here, and it's going to be a faith promise commitment card. And I want to talk to you about that today for a little bit. And we're going to have this card used for something that we're going to have very special that we want to talk to you about today from the Scripture. And so let's look in, if we would, in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, some of you may recall that last year, right around this time, we had our missions conference scheduled. It was scheduled for the month of March, and we were going to have missionaries in from Myanmar, and we were planning that, and we were excited about that, and we had been preaching some messages to try to prepare for missions conference, and then all of a sudden, everything shut down to the point where we even had our services shut down. Our missionaries were not able to come into the places where they were planning to go, and ended up even, it required them to even fly back home. They were not able to have the missions conferences that they had scheduled, and so we weren't able to have missions conference last year. And I tell you, that was sad to me. It was sad that we weren't able to have missions conference. I just enjoy the missionaries coming in. And this is one of the highlights for my year, when we get to have missions conference and missionaries come in. And so last year we weren't able to do as much as we wanted to do as far as a missions conference and even perhaps preaching messages geared towards missions, because that's what our missionaries would have done had they been here. But I wanted to take you here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And I wanted to talk this morning about mission giving. Now, I know that when giving is brought up in a message in a church, the story goes something like this. Well, the preacher, he likes to talk about giving a lot. But that's not the case with this message. I hope you understand my heart. We're going to talk about mission giving and what God would desire for us to do as a church when it comes to giving to missionaries, so that we can continue to support missionaries in our country and around the world. And I want you to prayerfully, in the midst of these next few days that lead up to our missions conference, I want you to prayerfully consider what God would have you to faithfully and willingly give to the work of missions. And I want you to ask God for that, what He would have you to do. And with His help now. And so I want to talk for just a few minutes from this passage of Scripture on faith promise missions giving. What it's all about. What we mean by that when we say we want to have a faith promise missions giving program. And we do here in our church, but I want you to make sure you understand it. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we're going to get to see a biblical basis for what we call faith promise giving. We're going to get to see it from this passage. And the passages of Scripture that we would take a person to help us to understand this would be 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we may visit that chapter just for a few moments a little later in the message. But then we would also go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which we're here now, and 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 for the biblical basis of faith promise missions, what we mean by faith promise missions giving. And so I want us to start with verse number 1, and I want us to notice how the church is to give to missions. How a local church is to give to missions. We're going to get to see the biblical basis for this. So look at verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren." Now remember who Paul is speaking to here. Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. So here in the book of Corinthians, he's talking to the church of Corinth, but notice what he says. He says, "We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Here's what Paul is doing as he speaks to the church of Corinth. He's urging them to send a money offering, a financial offering to a cause that is outside of their local church. Now, when we would use that phrase, a cause outside of our local church, that's exactly what we mean by missions. We would sometimes refer to it as worldwide evangelization, to reach out to the world with the gospel. And so missions giving is exactly what Paul is talking about here, giving to a cause that's outside of our local church. He is urging the church of Corinth to keep a promise that they had made. Now, if you would read a little later on down in Scripture in verse number 10, and we won't take the time to read it, but at the very end of verse number 10 in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, you'll notice that they had made this promise. They had made this commitment to gather this offering and send it to a cause outside of their church. They had made this promise a year ago. But they had not fulfilled that promise yet. So Paul is urging them to do what they had promised that they would do a year ago. You say, all right, well, what is this offering that Paul is collecting? I want you to go back in your Bibles, if you would take the time to turn there, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, which is the passage of Scripture that I told you we would see a little bit more about faith promise giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1, it says this, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." So we're collecting money for a cause outside of our church. And he said, I've given these instructions to the churches in Galatia, and I'm also giving it to you, the church of Corinth. Notice what he says in verse number 2. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." He's saying to take what God has laid upon your heart to give and make sure that you've reserved it. You have it in store so that when that collection is made and when it's gathered together, we can make sure we give it to the cause that we are desiring to give it to that's outside of our local church. He said, do that on the first day of the week, he says. Now notice verse number 3. "And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." So here he lets us know who he's collecting this money for. Paul is endeavoring to collect money for poor saints that are in the city of Jerusalem. So Paul says, when you've put this collection together, because the church of Corinth had let Paul know, this is something we want to take part in. Hey, the churches in Galatia do it. We want to take part in this. We're excited about taking part in this, and they promise that they're going to do it. He says, well, once you've laid by in store, once you've collected all of this offering, we're going to send somebody to take that offering and to receive that offering and bring it to the city of Jerusalem so that we can help the poor saints that are gathered there. So the church of Corinth had made a promise that they would give in this offering that was going to be sent to the poor saints that were in the city of Jerusalem. But now let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1, I want us to notice a word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1 says this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." Now that word grace there that's found in verse number 1 is used to describe their giving. This is what we would sometimes refer to as grace giving. And so that word grace there is referring or describing their giving. You say, well, all right, well, what does that mean? If the word grace is describing their giving, what does that mean? Well, that means that a giving heart is a grace that comes from God. So God gives us the ability, he gives us the grace to have a heart that is willing to give. Now, grace is a special word in the Bible, isn't it? As a matter of fact, when we read through the word grace, we know that it's used in the Bible to describe several things. We could talk about saving grace, grace that saves us. We could talk about grace that keeps us. It's not just that God saves us by grace, we're also kept by grace. And isn't that great? Wonderful truth that God gives us. He saves us by grace, and he keeps us by grace as well. Then we could talk about walking grace, grace to walk the Christian life. We could talk about working grace, grace to work and do whatever it is that God has given you as a task to do for him. And then aren't you thankful that when your time on this earth comes to an end, God even promises that he'll give us dying grace. Grace to die and cross over onto the other side and be able to be in the presence of Jesus and in eternity in heaven if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But he also gives to us giving grace, meaning that when we have a heart that is willing to give, it is a special grace that God gives to those who are his children. And so he uses that word grace there to describe giving. Now, notice back to verse number 1, he's going to use a particular group of churches as an example or as a pattern. Notice the group of churches that he uses in verse number 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God," or grace giving, the grace to have a giving heart, "bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." He uses the churches of Macedonia as a pattern or as an example of giving. Here's what he's saying. These churches were willing to faithfully give to a cause that was outside of their local church. A matter of fact, we could study the churches of Macedonia, and we would come to the conclusion when we study the churches of Macedonia that one of the greatest ways in which they gave in a particular way was to the church at Philippi. As a matter of fact, if you study the story of the church of Philippi, you'll notice that they gave over and over to the mission endeavors that Paul had had there in the church of Philippi. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the church of Philippi even financially supported Paul as he started to plant churches. One of those churches in particular was the church in Thessalonica, and the church of Philippi wanted to get in on this work that Paul was doing. And so they said, "Hey, we're going to give so that Paul can plant these churches, especially the church there in Thessalonica and other church plants that Paul had." And so the church of Philippi wanted to get in on this. They wanted to be part of giving to a cause that was outside of their local church. We're not talking about giving to the local church and the needs of the local church, but we're talking about a cause outside of the local church. And they helped Paul as he planted those churches. And then they also supported Paul financially while he even preached at Corinth. Isn't it amazing that the churches of Macedonia, one of them in particular, the church of Philippi, financially supported Paul when he was preaching at the church of Philippi, or excuse me, at the church of Corinth, and now he's speaking to the Christians at Corinth, and he's saying, "Hey, you need to give. They gave while I was preaching at your church to me so that I could do it, and now you need to give to a cause outside of your local church." So here's what I want us to notice. I want us to see the Macedonians as an example, as a pattern. But before we notice that, I want you to be able to understand a definition of what we mean by faith promise giving. When we say faith promise giving, and when we say we're a mission giving church, what does that mean? Let me take just a moment to define it for you, and then I want us to look at Macedonia as a perfect pattern or a perfect example of this faith promise giving. Faith promise giving is the biblical program for financing world evangelization. Can I say this? Evangelizing the world is something that is needful. So this is not something that we're just saying we're giving to a cause that's outside of our local church that could we could give to it or we wouldn't have to, and it's not going to be of great importance. This is of great importance. There is a great need to evangelize the world. We have opportunity to evangelize here in our city, in our county, in our state. But in our country, we want to evangelize those that are lost. Throughout the world, we want to evangelize those that are lost. So there is a great need when it comes to evangelizing the world. The need is great. And so you say, all right, well, what is faith promise giving then? It is a commitment. Or we use the word promise. We call it faith promise giving. So it's a commitment or a promise by faith. So we've used those two words there, faith promise giving. So it's a promise by faith that we will give something financially above our tithes and offerings. All right, so what are our tithes and offerings? Well, our tithes and our offerings are something that God commands us to give, doesn't he? He says that we're to take 10% of all of the ways that God has increased us. And we are to give. It's a command that God gives us to give our tithes and our offerings so that we can support the local church. So that supports the local church. That's the difference between our tithes and offerings and our faith promise giving. Because our faith promise giving is an offering above our tithes and offerings for the purpose of giving to missions. So this would be an offering for others. An offering outside the walls of this church. The tithes and offerings meet the need of the church. But the faith promise offering giving meets the needs outside of the church. So faith promise is the means then that gives the local church provision financially to reach the world through missions with the gospel. Now we need to reach this area with the gospel, and we certainly have no doubt of that. We want people to understand the good news of the gospel. Matter of fact, we had an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel last week on Easter Sunday, didn't we? The fact that Jesus died for our sins. We're all sinners. We stand before a holy and a righteous God guilty, don't we? And there is a punishment for our sins. God's word lets us know that we've all sinned. There's a punishment for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be eternally separated from God and spend eternity in punishment. That's what we deserve because we're sinners. But God loved us so much. That's the next part of the gospel. He died and he was buried. And he loved us enough after his death and his burial, he rose again, didn't he? And the Bible tells us that after that, he's ascended into heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's making intercession for us today. And here's the great truth about the gospel. We're all sinners. There's a punishment for our sin. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And if we'll trust in what he's done for us, it's not about what we do, but it's about what has already been done. If we will put our trust and our faith in what he has already done for us, he gives us the promise and the hope of heaven and eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the gospel is an important message, isn't it? It's important for us to let the world know, just like we would let our church know, that you're a sinner and that there's a punishment for your sin. But Jesus loved you and he died for you and he was buried and he rose again. And if you'll call on him this very moment, he'll save you and he'll give you a promise of heaven and hope of eternal life. The world needs to hear that, don't they? So there's a great cause when we talk about world evangelization and giving to missions work. Can I say this about Faith Promise missions giving? It's something that is possible for every single church. What I mean by that is this. It's possible for every church, no matter what size church, to give to missionaries. And then can I say this even further? It's possible for every individual. So it's possible for every church, regardless of the size. It's possible for every individual, regardless our income. We can give something for the work of evangelism around the world, for missions. And so what would we say is the main word that we want to remember when it comes to faith promise giving? The word faith, because when we give to missionaries, it's going to cause our faith to be exercised, isn't it? We're going to have to exercise our faith to fulfill the promise or the commitment that we give to God. If we're going to promise God that every week, on a weekly basis, or perhaps on a monthly basis, I'm going to give to God this amount. I'm going to make a promise. I'm going to make a commitment to give that amount to God's work, missions outside of the local church. My faith is going to be exercised, isn't it? But can I say this about the Christian life? The Christian life is to be lived by faith, isn't it? We're to live the Christian life by faith. And so that means we exercise faith in every area of our life, don't we? And it's not that we have faith or don't have faith. I believe we all have faith. It's the object of our faith. And so we put our faith, the object of our faith is God, and we're trusting him. If I commit or I promise that I'm going to give this amount financially to missionaries outside of my local church, that God is going to be able to allow me to give that amount. I'm trusting him by faith. And so we're believing God for what possibly we might not even see. God, it just almost even doesn't look like financially it's going to work out. I don't see it being able to work out. That's where we put our trust in God, don't we? We put our faith in him. I may not be able to see it, but yet I'm going to allow him to make it possible. That's where we exercise our faith. So we're trusting his plan. And by the way, his plan is a biblical plan, isn't it? And we're also trusting his promise. What are some of the promises he gives to us? Give and it shall be given unto you. He says this about giving. He says, give and prove me now, he says. If I will not pour out a blessing from the windows of heaven and shower you with that blessing. God gives promises, doesn't he? We put him to the test. We exercise our faith. And God gives an example here of how the churches of Macedonia did that very thing. They exercised their faith. And I want us to notice back to this passage of scripture that we're reading. Look back, if you would, at verse number 2. And we're going to notice some truths about their giving. Number 1, I want us to notice this about the churches of Macedonia. I want us to notice that their giving was liberally. Their giving was liberally. Look at verse number 2, if you would. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Do you see some conflicting terms there? Do you see the term affliction and then the term joy? Do you see the term poverty and then the term liberality? It's saying this, they had great affliction, but yet they had abundant joy. Now, I would say this, that we can't have affliction and fun, but I think we can have affliction and joy at the same time. And that's the truth that we see at the churches of Macedonia. They had great affliction, but yet they had great joy because they did something for God. But then notice something else that's mentioned here. It says they had deep poverty, but yet they gave liberally. Now, we already said this, that everyone can participate in this offering regardless of their financial situation. And it is possible, as we look at the story here that we're given in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 of the example or the pattern of the churches of Macedonia, that it is possible to even give liberally, even when you might feel like you don't have enough to give liberally. Even in their poverty, yet they gave liberally, and what did it end up resulting in? Great joy. Look with me, if you would, really quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just one chapter over. Don't turn far from where you're at. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, and notice what it says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Bountifully would be another way that we would describe liberally, isn't it? We want to give bountifully. We want to give liberally. And so let's allow the churches of Macedonia to help us to see a great pattern in our giving, that we would give liberally. You know, in our giving, it's not about how much I want to give to God, but how much God wants to give through me. And so let it not be so much how much I want to give him, but allow him to speak to your heart about how much he can give through you. Let's give liberally to the work of missions as we approach our missions conference, to ask God what it would be that he would have us to commit to give to worldwide evangelization and missions giving around the world. But then look at another word. Look at verse number 3. I want you to notice that they didn't just give liberally, they also gave sacrificially. They gave sacrificially. Look at verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. What is Paul saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 about the churches of Macedonia? He's saying they gave sacrificially. He uses the word power in there. The word power has the idea of ability. So there really are three different ways that we can give. We can either give below our ability, or we can give according to our ability, or we can give beyond our ability. So I can say, well, I feel like I have it, and I'm going to give to missions even less than what I feel like I really have. That would be below our ability. And then to say, well, I have it, so I'm going to give according to my ability. But then to go the next step and say, boy, what a sacrificial way of giving. I don't even know that I have it. I don't even know that I could say I could necessarily properly even fit it in the budget. That's where faith comes in, doesn't it? And we say, I'm going to give even beyond my ability to give. And that's exactly what Paul says is the example or the pattern of the churches of Macedonia. Look at what he says again in verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. So they gave even above and beyond. This is where sacrifice comes in, doesn't it? And by the way, this is ultimately where faith comes in. Think about the illustration of the widow in Zarephath. Remember the widow in Zarephath when she made Elijah a cake? Remember, she only had enough ingredients to make one cake. She was going to make that cake, and her son were going to die after that. She knew that that was the only provision we had. We're going to make it, and then our life's going to come to an end. But Elijah said, hey, can you make me one first? And the Bible says the widow of Zarephath obeyed the Lord. She did what she had the power to do. Hey, I have this cake, and I have the power to at least make this one cake, and I'm going to give it to Elijah, but I'm even giving beyond my power. You say, well, why is she giving beyond her power? Why is she giving beyond her ability? Because once she gives it to Elijah, she doesn't have any more for herself. That's where faith comes in. I don't have enough to make him one and myself one, so I'm going to give to my power. I've got enough ingredients to make it for him, but I can't go beyond my power to make one for myself. But that's where faith comes in. And can we see the end result in the life of this widow of Zarephath? Her faith helped her to see a great miracle, didn't it? And the supplies, the ingredients for the cake that she needed to be made was provided for her until it rained again. God provided her need, didn't he? Listen, ask God to stretch your faith. Our faith needs to be exercised from time to time, doesn't it? And with faith promise giving, that's exactly what has to take place. We have to ask God, stretch our faith, strengthen our faith, look to God for his provision. We may not look at it and say, I have the ability to do it, but I want to look to God for his provision so that I can give to worldwide evangelization. So that's exactly what sacrificial giving is. Sacrificial giving is the result of putting our faith in God and trusting that he can provide it for me. I want to give even beyond my ability. Look down, if you would, at verse number 5. Notice what verse number 5 says. Sacrificial giving was the result of something else that was sacrificially given. This is so important. Look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Man, here's what's important. Sacrificial giving is the result of a sacrificial offering of ourselves first. So we give ourselves first. We dedicate or surrender ourselves first. And then we're willing to say, God, now I want you to take my sacrificial offering. And by faith, give it so that missions work can be done. Now, I want you to notice really quickly here, just a pause. Look at verse number 4, if you would. I want us to see the purpose for giving liberally and the purpose for giving sacrificially. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. Here's the purpose of why we do this. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. So what did the Macedonians do there? They were begging Paul. Man, they were urging Paul. They said, Paul, I want you to take our offering. I want you to take this gift so that we can participate in caring for these saints that are poor, that need our help. They're urging Paul, they're begging Paul, please take of our offering. We want to participate. Is that the way you feel about giving? Please, God, take it. Please, I want to give this to you. I want to be willing to do it. I want to give it liberally. I want to give it sacrificially. God, please take this offering so that I can meet the needs of giving the gospel around the world. Faith promise giving is for the purpose of sharing the gospel, isn't it? And it's for the purpose of sharing the gospel with the almost 8 billion people that are around the world. When we give, we have a part in spreading the gospel, don't we? And by the way, this is perhaps maybe the most unselfish giving we could ever give, because on earth we may not see the results. We're giving to missionaries that are seeing results outside of the walls of this church that we'll never see. They're winning people to Christ that we're never going to get to fellowship with. Well, at least this side of eternity. But then when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see the results. So this is some unselfish giving, isn't it? Because we're giving in such a way where we're not even getting to see the results. When we give to our church, we get to see the results, don't we? We get to see the blessings of those buses out on the road. We get to see the blessings of being able to sit in a nice auditorium to have services. We get to see the blessings of people coming to know Jesus as their Savior because of materials that we buy to pass out and to give to folks that need to hear the gospel. We get to see that. But unselfish giving is when we don't get to see the results, but yet we're still trusting that God is using that gift. And we're able to see the results in heaven someday. And so, number one, we said this, and I'm going to finish with this last thought here this morning just so that we don't run out of time and get too long. We said giving should be liberal. It should be sacrificial. But then I want to close with this morning. I had a few other thoughts I wanted to share, but I'm going to close for sake of time. Number three, I want us to notice that it ought to be willing as well. We ought to willingly give. So we liberally give, we sacrificially give, but we ought to willingly give as well. Look at verse 8 if you would. Verse number 8. We skipped a couple verses, but look at verse number 8 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. So what is Paul saying about this faith promise giving? This faith promise gift, what's he saying? He's saying it's not a command. It's not a command. Would we agree that when we read through Scripture, tithing would be something we would say is a command? Tithing is something that from the very beginning of Scripture we see as a command that God gives. But this faith promise giving is not a command. It's something that would be voluntary. Something that we would say, I'm going to willingly do. Can I say this? It does not matter how much you have if you're not willing to give it. So you could say, well, I have a lot that I could give, but yet if you're not voluntarily, willingly giving it, it doesn't matter how much you have. You think about what God's word says here. Look at verse number 3, back up to the very beginning. It says this at the very end of the verse. They were willing of themselves. Look down at verse number 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He's saying, hey, there was a willingness to do this. Look at verse number 12, the very first part of the verse. For if there be first a willing mind. Remember, they gave of themselves first, and now they have a willing mind to give financially as well. Would you turn over to chapter 9 for just a moment? Not far from where we're at. Look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Look at this. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Not because you say, well, I have to give it. Now, I tell you what, because I have to give it, I guess I'll take the wallet out today, or I guess I'll take the checkbook out today because I have to give it. No, God says this is not a command. This is something I want you to willingly do. And notice he gives us two reasons why we should willingly do this at the end of verse number 8. Look at this. He says, I speak not by commandment. That means you don't have to do it. It's something you would willingly do. But notice the two reasons, and we'll close with this. But by occasion of the forwardness of others. He's saying this, look at what others are doing. Look at what others around you are doing. Now, who's the example he's using here? He's using the churches of Macedonia. But don't forget, back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, he also used the churches in Galatia, didn't he? He said, hey, they're giving. The churches of Macedonia are giving. So we could go back to a simple Bible command that we see throughout the Scripture, go and do thou likewise. Hey, if they're giving and they can do it, then you as a church can do it as well. So get to a point where you realize it's not something I have to do, but I want to willingly do it because I see the example of others that are giving. But then notice the last reason why we should willingly give. Notice what it says at the end, and to prove the sincerity of your love. The love that you have for Jesus. The love that you have for souls. Man, I want souls to hear the gospel. I have a love for Jesus. I want to get his word out. And so I'm willing to liberally and sacrificially give. So have you noticed while we've been going through here today that faith promise giving really incorporates quite a few things? It incorporates love. You have to have love to be able to give. We love Jesus. We love souls. It incorporates faith, doesn't it? Hey, we have to have enough faith to be able to give. It incorporates a commitment. It incorporates a consistency. I want to make sure I'm faithful at it. But it also incorporates the ability to take God at his word. I've got to trust him. I've got to know that if he has given me promises, I can lean on those promises that he has given to me. Now, we're not done this thought here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 in its entirety. It may be that I'll continue tonight as we have evening service tonight. But I do believe that God has allowed us to see enough in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 to help us to realize the pattern and the example of the churches of Macedonia, that they gave liberally, and they gave sacrificially, and they gave willingly to a cause that was outside of their local church, for the purpose of the gospel being spread. And so this morning, here's what I would desire that as a church we do in the coming week. I would desire that you individually, as maybe perhaps husbands and wives, as families, that you would come together this week, whether it be on your own or as a family, and you would be praying, you'd be prayerful about it, what God would have you to faithfully and willingly give to the work of missionaries, to a cause that is outside of the walls of this church. And I told you about this little card that we are going to be putting inside of the booklets that we're going to put together for our missions conference. And this is going to be what we're going to refer to as a faith promise commitment card. And that's why I want you to be praying for that this week. This faith promise commitment card here has a Bible verse on it. And then it says this. It says, in dependence upon God. Now that's faith, isn't it? So in dependence upon God, I have purposed in my heart to give to world evangelism through this local church. And then it has an amount. And whether that be a weekly amount or a monthly amount or maybe another way in which you want to give, there's not a place for any individual to put their name on there. It's just a commitment that you want to make, a promise that you want to make before the Lord, that you will willingly and faithfully give that amount, starting when we take this up, so that you can give to the world evangelization of our church. You say, all right, well, what would be the purpose of doing that? What would be the purpose of filling that out so that we as a church can know what we would be able to do for missions? So that we could know, hey, are there more missionaries that we could take on? Is God going to supply a need where we could take on some more missionaries? Where we could be able to provide for more needs that missionaries have? So it helps us as a church to know what we can do. And so I want you to be prayerfully considering that this week. And when we have our booklet and we hand that out, if you would just take that card out and you would say, I've been praying about this. I know what the Lord would have for me to do. And this is the way that I believe biblically God's word has it lined up for our church to be able to meet the needs of world evangelization. And this is what God has spoken to my heart. And this is what I'm going to commit to. And I'm asking you this week to pray about that. And I want us to bow our heads and I want us to close our eyes now as we bring our service time to a close.